And I just got lots of good advice from different people. So we'll see what happens. This is my first time teaching and talking to adults. I've taught children many times. They are much easier, I feel like, than you guys, because if I get lost and don't know what to say, I just like pretend to hurt myself or start dancing or tell them to play a song and it's all good. They don't know a thing. But adults are a little more scary because it's like, okay, whatever I say, they're going to like contest what I say and like match up and be like, I don't know if that was biblically sound. So you're going to hear a lot of my opinion and I believe tonight. So just bear with me as we go through this. Honestly, I started out with a totally different topic, and then one day I was praying in my car. I drive around for work a lot, so I take that as a great opportunity to be able to listen to the music that we're doing that week and pray and all that good stuff. And I was praying, and I was like, God, please. It was my fault. But I was like, God, please help me to become less so that you can become greater for this message, and just let it be exactly what you want to say. And so later that day, I was working on my message, and it just started transforming into a whole nother topic. And I was like, God, what are you doing to me right now? And he's like, and literally I just heard, make me less so you can be greater. And I was like, oh, jeez. So it has come something completely different than what was originally supposed to be talked about. But I think it's going to be good. Strap yourselves in. It might be a bumpy ride, but we're gonna get through it together. Don't judge me. Pray for me. Lean your hands forward. Let's go. All right. That was my disclaimer of the night. I had to get some of Lindsay in there so I could get through to the seriousness of God's word. Jake, keep it together, please. All right, so for first question of the night, I'm going to ask you a lot of different questions. Just feel free to raise your hands. You can answer if you want. There's not a test. So if you want to pretend that you're listening, that's fine with me. All right, so how many of you guys would have what you consider a really good rock solid testimony? Raise your hand. Like rock solid, like a great testimony. Awesome. I was hoping that not everyone raised their hands because I would have been up until maybe a year or so ago or maybe even like 8 months ago, I would have been somebody who would have not raised my hand because I always thought that you had to have something super traumatic happen to you in order to have a testimony. Like every time I would hear people like share their testimonies, they would be like, I almost died or this happened to me or I got pregnant when I was a teenager. And I'm like, geez, none of that happened to me. I don't have a testimony. I was wrong. So when I Googled, you all know I love words, so you're going to get a lot of definitions. Get ready for your English lesson. When I Googled Christian testimony, the definition that came up was really awesome, and I thought that it was like the perfect way to describe testimony. And it said, a testimony is a compilation of words that tell others about your faith. It can explain why you are a Christian, experiences you've had, and how you overcame sin, and more. I thought this was a really awesome definition. And for those of you that know, of course, I'm going to pick out one word that I like best in there. And I really like the word experience. I thought that that was an awesome word. Experiences you've had. It doesn't say in there something, a traumatic experience that happened to you. It doesn't say in there somebody beat you. Like it says in here that experiences you've had, why you're a Christian, how you overcame sin. And that doesn't have to be something traumatic or a big, huge, or elaborate story. So what I did from that point is I Googled experience and wanted that definition. And I really liked one of the words that popped up as the definition for experience was encounter. So now we're having wordplay time, and the testimony is your life-changing encounter. Simple definition for testimony, your life-changing encounter. Dear God, Lord, I pray for the service tonight. Lord, I pray that you help me become less so that way you can become greater, God. And Lord, I pray that if there's anything that I'm not supposed to say, God, or that you, I just want everything I say to be from you. And Lord, I pray that you help everyone in here, God, give them eyes to see and ears to hear your word tonight, God. And we love you and I worship you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, I'm basically going to talk to you about me and my story and all that good stuff. But there's really nothing traumatic in there, so you're lucky. How many of you guys know it's hard to get to know somebody? I'm not talking about, like, the simple things like Lindsay's favorite color is purple. Everyone knows my favorite color is purple. I'm talking about, like, the hard stuff, the things that you don't necessarily tell people, the experiences you've had, what makes you who you are, those type of things. Now, how many of you would say it's hard to get to know somebody like that? Good. Thank you. Good job. I would say out of the people in this room that probably a decent amount of you know me well, a select portion know me really well, and then some of you guys may not know me that well at all other than what you see when I'm here. But tonight I'm going to tell you about my story, my life-changing encounter, and the events that led up to it and how it came to be. So, I was a pew baby. I grew up going to church. My parents, my brother and my sister, our mom and dad, they taught us to go to church, love God, serve God with all your hearts. A lot of the things in leadership that I know are from examples from my parents, and they were like our biggest fans, like traditional parents, okay? My mom would have like a shirt that says, I love DJ, if she could, like biggest fans, okay? And I would say, and I believed it then, and I still believe it now, that us growing up, our childhood was probably as close to perfect as you could get. We were very blessed. And I think it's interesting because we all know the scripture in Jeremiah where it talks about how God formed us in our womb and he molded us and created us and he knows us. But that is so true. God built all of us, and he created us differently. We all have different brains. I know I have a much different brain than most of the people in this room. I know God created me with a little more sparkle than everyone else. But it's true. God made all of our brains differently. We all react to situations differently. I think if the exact same situation happened to each and every person in here right tonight, we'd all react differently to it. We all would completely react different. And that's fine because that's the way God made us. Miss Pam says all the time, there's not supposed to be a million Lindsays. If God wanted another Lindsay, he would have made one. We're all meant to be our person. DJ's meant to be DJ. Miss Pam's meant to be Miss Pam. Mustache Bob is meant to be Mustache Bob. So, and we are happy. With all of that, I grew up in church, and I really loved God, and I wanted to serve God, but something always seemed to hold me back from reaching my life-changing encounter, and we will come back and touch on that. But finally, what we're going to talk about tonight, I want to talk to you guys about moments of impact. I firmly believe that life is made up of different moments. We all have moments, things that happen. They could be good moments, they could be bad moments, they could be sad moments, they could be happy moments, but they're all moments of impact. And the movie The Vow talks a lot about this, and we'll get to that a little later too in the evening. But I believe that these experiences that we have, these different experiences that our lives are made up of, they have impact on us. And all these experiences, they affect us all in one way, a different way. You know, they all affect us in one way or another, and to all different degrees. When I Googled the word moment, of course, for the most part, I did get the definition that I expected. Everybody pretty much knows what moment is. But I was just a little shocked to see what the second, because you know how there's a first definition, a second definition. I was a little shocked to see what the second definition is. And it's moment is importance and significance, which is really awesome because I always knew, because of my personal theory, that moments were important, but it's kind of awesome that the word moment actually means important. The word impact, so we Googled impact, and impact means to have a strong effect on someone or something, and then it has semicolon, influence. Which I thought influence was just a really cool word. So of course I Googled that. And influence means the capacity to have effect on the character development or behavior of someone. You might be thinking we're getting a little too carried away, but I did this because I wanted to break down moment of impact for you, because moment of impact is not necessarily a biblical term. And the Bible, it tells us how to deal with different moments and different things, but it's not necessarily, you're not going to find just like moment of impact in the Bible. So I wanted to come up with some type of definition to provide for you guys so you know what we're talking about. And moment of impact breaks down to an event of significance that has influence on a person's character development or behavior. So we're talking about the moments that define us, the moments that affect our character, our development, our behavior. We all have these moments, and we have them quite frequently. And all of these moments, they lead us right up to our life-changing encounters. When I was a kid, we went to a big old church. Actually, when I was a baby, we went to a big church. And then when I was a little bit older, we also went to a big church. And when I was a kid, we always called it like big church and like little, like kid church, little church. And one night we were in big church, and I cannot tell you if it was a Sunday service or if it was like a nighttime service. I really don't remember. But I remember we were at service and the Spirit started moving. And I mean, I'm Miss Pam, I'm Elisa, Pastor Bill. Y'all know COP days, people be getting crazy up in there. And But that night, the Spirit started moving, and I remember I went to the bathroom with my mom. And the bathroom was kind of like my hiding place. When things got real crazy, I would always like retreat to the bathroom and act like I was going to the bathroom, but I really wasn't. I was hiding in there because, it was weird. But this time was different because normally I'd go by myself, but this time my mom was with me. And my mom is kind of like my hero. Mom, don't cry. She's kind of like my hero, but my mom has like a ridiculous amount of faith, like an irritating amount of faith, okay? Like when you're venting about your frustrations about a certain situation and you just want to vent to somebody, my mom is the one who hits you with, just pray about it. God has a plan. He's going to get you through. Off actual information, but things you don't want to hear in the moment of venting, okay? And I'm just convinced, Megan and I and DJ, we've talked about it before. I am convinced that if we did not have my mother, my family would run around like idiots half the time, because she is definitely the one that keeps us going. But anyways, so I remember being in the bathroom, and I don't know if she even remembers this, but I remember being in the bathroom, and I remember crying, telling her I was scared of what was going on out there. And she looked at me just like my mom did, and she would say, honey, nothing Jesus does is scary. But the reason why this is a moment of impact for me is because in that moment, I realized I knew that, but I was still scared anyways. And I didn't want to be scared because I knew God loved me and I knew nothing he did was scary, but I was still scared. If you fast forward to middle school, I felt like my fear was getting better. I was serving on a children's ministry team with my brother and Kara and Jonathan, who you guys know. And it was really cool. We would do camps and kids crusades, and we would travel around to all different, a few like states around the area, and we would minister to these kids, and we would do the whole service. We would do worship, and we do puppets and clowns and skits, and it was really awesome. And that was such a great time. I learned so much in that time. I think that we all grew in that time. It was something that I would never trade. It's when I look back on life, that's probably some of my favorite moments. And we did this for about 2 years-ish. I don't really remember the exact time. It was, about 2 years. But shortly after the 2 years were up, there was a rumor that started going around the church that our children's pastors were leaving. And I remember, they didn't tell us this, but we just heard it, through the grapevine, because that's how things went there. And I remember being at school that day because they had called, by this point, they had called like a meeting with all of us. They wanted all of us to come in. So we all kind of knew what was going down by that point. And I remember being at school and I told my friend I didn't really want to go to the meeting because I knew that they were going to tell us that they were leaving. Well, we all went to the meeting and some other of the people that were on the team too, they got there before us, so I guess they had already bombarded them and found out. So when we were walking in and they were coming out sobbing and we were all like, oh gosh, this is going to be horrible. But when they left the church, I think there was what, like 12 of us on the team, DJ? 12 yeah, like between 12 and 14. But it affected all of us completely differently. But it did affect everybody on the team. One of the girls that was on the team, she really, in that time, just wanted to be a children's pastor. She loved children's ministry. She wanted to be a children's pastor. And after they left, she stopped doing children's ministry for a long time. And I remember I felt a little lost and confused, but I think the one thing that was the same all across the board. Royal Taylor defines it as the free fall period, where you feel lost and confused and you say, what's next? And so we all found ourselves in that free fall period. We're going to fast forward again to high school. In high school, I started attending a worship and arts camp every summer for 6 years. And these camps are still, they are like some the best memories. They were so great and so fun. But my problem didn't go away there. For the first few years, and this is the first time I'm admitting this out loud, so no stones, people. But all of my friends would go to the camp and everybody would be like, my favorite part of the nighttime services. And I would pretend to like agree with them, be like, yeah, but inside I like dreaded going because I knew that everything, it was really awesome worship, okay? I look back on it now and I want to slap myself, okay? But I'm not trying to dwell on the past, but I just secretly was not happy. Like, I'm sure some people could tell, you know, on the outside, but I thought I was hiding it real well. But on the inside, I was just not excited. I was terrified. I did not want to go to these services because something about it just scared me. But the next, so that was, it kind of goes in sets of two. That was the first 2 years. The second 2 years, it was the third year of camp. I had a separate moment of impact. This is kind of like a bunch of moments just like shoved into one story. But I remember that year of camp, the theme was unhidden, and a lot of the talk was about the woman at the well in John 4, where, you know, God basically, like, reads her mail, and she becomes unhidden, and that's when her wall comes down, and, you know, all that. And that's basically, you know, what a lot of the camp was about. And I remember one night the service was going on and I would get so like worked up. I would like start to make myself sick. And I would like, so I was sitting in the back with my mom, just like watching everybody. And I'd be like, you know, just worshiping in the back. Like, and I remember Mama Lisa, that's Mama Lisa. You're going to hear a lot about her later on. But she, I remember she was like standing on stage singing and I feel like her eyes like burnt into me. And she came over and she just looked right at me and she said, you're hiding. And I was like, I am. And actually, there's a picture of this moment on Facebook, and it's one of my favorite pictures. But she prayed with me, and in that moment, that's when the fear really just kind of, it went away. I just really let go of the fear in that moment, and that's, you know, so it's a big moment of impact for me. But the next 2 years, I had really learned to let go of the fear. And I was ready. I was like, yeah, ready for the service. Like, I was ready to go. And I tried so hard to just press in and just worship God, but I couldn't. I tried so hard, and I just couldn't do it. Like, I have, like, my brain works really quickly. So I would like try to like stand in the corner and just like really focus. And I remember like sometimes I'd stand like this, and I still kind of do that sometimes just to like block out everything else around me. But I was trying, I was like, God, and I just could not get to that experience. All my friends would always talk about this amazing thing happened to me while I was worshiping, or this amazing thing happened to me this year at camp. And I was like, ah, like nothing's happening to me. God, what the heck? I am not scared of you anymore. Like, show up, please. But it just didn't happen. And so the last year that I went, I kind of started to get angry. I was irritated. I was mad. It wasn't like I was hateful towards God or anything like that. I was more irritated with the situation, like more irritated with myself. Like, why can I not break through this? What is wrong? Like, what's going on? And so that same year, this is like the next moment, I went and I had talked to Mama Lisa. She's a theme, okay? I talked to Mama Lisa and we had this really long heart-to-heart conversation, and it was really long. And I went and I explained to her my frustration and how I let go of the fear, but I just couldn't get through. And I felt like there was me, and then there was a wall, and then there was God. And Mama Lisa just looks at me and goes, I've seen that in you, and I was waiting on you. Sorry it took so long, okay? But I was secretly happy. I was like, hallelujah, yes. So basically, she confirmed that I had built up this wall, and she felt like God was going to require something of me. God was going to require me to do something in order to break that wall, which sounded fantastic. But I had to figure out what the wall was and why the wall was there before I could be open to receive this task. I had a wall up. How's God going to give me a task? I mean, it's not going to work like that. So we will come back to my story in just a little bit. We all face two different types of moments. Okay, two different types. The first one, which we're going to talk about a little bit here, is the life's moment of impact. These moments are the moments that they're out of our control. There's things that life just drops on you. This is just like the moments that happen to the characters in The Vow. So if you could play that clip really quick.
I have a theory. My theory is about moments. Moments of impact. My theory is that these moments of impact, these flashes of high intensity that completely turn our lives upside down, actually end up defining who we are.
As you know, your wife's CT scan showed intracranial hemorrhaging. We purposely keep patients with traumatic brain injuries in a comatose state in order to calm their systems and allow the brain time to heal itself while the swelling subsides. And then we slowly wean them off it. Now, in severe cases,
each one of us is the sum total of every moment that we've ever experienced with all the people we've ever known. And it's these moments that become our history. Like our own personal greatest hits of memories that we play and replay in our minds over and over again.
Don't crowd her. She's gonna be a little groggy, so let's just give her some space.
Hey. It's so good to see you.
Paige, it's okay. You're in the hospital. You were in a car accident. You hit your head, but you're okay. We just kept you asleep for a little while.
How do you feel?
My head hurts.
Yeah, well, that's perfectly normal. I'll get you something for that.
Was anyone else hurt, Doctor?
Hey, you know who I am, right?
Yeah. You're my doctor.
I'm your husband.
Mr. Collins?
You said things were very good.
A brain injury isn't like a broken bone or laceration. Brains are much less predictable. Sometimes, due to the way the swelling tissue presses against the skull, it can cause some impairment.
Some impairment? She doesn't remember me.
Even though she's awake, the swelling can cause confusion or memory loss, erratic mood swings.
What?
But that's normal.
So that's my theory. That these moments of impact define who we are.
So that
I have a theory.
Oh. He has a theory. That was basically like the first 30 minutes of the movie that I had DJ cut up and make into like a short video for you guys, because I wanted to show you the beginning of the story with his monologue in the background talking about the moments of impact. But as you could see, they were in a car accident, and it left the wife in a situation where she could not remember who her husband was, which is a pretty large life moment of impact for somebody to deal with. The husband, as you could see, he was really lost and confused. He wasn't really sure what to do. He had never been in a situation having his wife not know who he was at all. But that kind of leaves us sometimes feeling the same way. We feel lost when certain moments happen. We feel lost and confused. And that's exactly what my moments did to me. In the movie, the wife chooses, I don't know if all of you guys have seen the movie. I thought everyone pretty much had, but my mom said she hadn't seen the movie. So I'll go ahead and explain a little bit. But it basically, throughout like the progression of the movie, she ends up leaving her husband for her old life. And she moves back to her hometown. She moves back in with her parents. She gets back together with her old boyfriend. Real hateful. But basically what she did was she allowed this moment to break her. She built up a wall between her and her husband. So if, just pretend for the sake of this that she is... She represents us, and the husband represents God, okay? You see, there was a reason why she had left her family in the first place. I'm not going to go into all the details because it's, you know, goes through the movie. But basically, her situation that she had left, her home situation, her old life was not the best situation for her. I mean, of course, she didn't remember it, but it was a pretty toxic situation. And she allowed her moment of impact to get the best of her and define her negatively. She ran and hid instead of facing the moment and letting it define her positively, and she built up a wall between her and her husband, and she ran. And a lot of times we do the same thing with God. in life, we have these moments of impact, and oftentimes we end up building up these walls. And that's what I did. I got scared when I was a child, and I built up this wall between me and God. And when I would be in a service and I thought stuff was scary was happening, I made the wall bigger. And when people like our children's pastor and our youth pastor moved away, I made the wall bigger. And every time something would happen to me that I deemed as scary spiritually, I built up a wall bigger and bigger between myself and God. The second moment of impact I'm going to talk about is obviously the spiritual moment of impact. And these are obviously the moments that are defined, they're spiritual. These moments are like my moments at Arts Camp with Mama Lisa and my moments at Arts Camp in general that I shared with you guys. They're centered more around God. Remember, keep in mind, all the impacts that we have in life, they lead us up to our life-changing encounter. Whether they're a life moment or they're a spiritual moment, they lead us up to our life-changing encounter. And when I say life-changing encounter, parentheses, put the word testimony right next to it. I am a believer, this is kind of a little side note, I put little asterisks by it, but I am a believer that we can have more than one life-changing encounter. I thought that I could only have one testimony, one story, but that's definitely not the case. We can have more than one testimony that pertain to different things, different circumstances, different situations that happen in our lives. We're never one and done. God's constantly working on us. We are a work in progress, and we are never going to know all of God. So why would we think we would have one testimony, one life-changing encounter, or one aha moment, I've arrived? We're never going to arrive because God's always working on us. And this is kind of a weird way to describe it, but the guys in the room will appreciate it. It's kind of like a video game. You hit level one, okay? But it doesn't stop there. You keep building, working until you hit level two. And then you keep going and you hit level three. It's the same thing in life. We have our moments of impact. We hit a life-changing encounter. Something that's a testimony that defines us, that changes us. And then what do? We keep on trekking up the next moments of impact until we get to our next life-changing encounter. The spiritual moments of impact are the moments we have where we never quite allow God to fully work on us to let us have that encounter. Because any of our moments, technically, they could become our life. That moment can become the encounter. It could. But it's up to us to allow God to do that. But if you're building up walls, you can't have the encounter. The moments that I had at camp, they were moments that defined me. The good, positive moments that I had, they helped me grow. They helped me appreciate the search and the seeking of God so much more. And I still remember every detail of me standing there. Like I said, I remember being like this. I remember the places that I stood in the different areas. I remember every detail, trying so hard to have that encounter, but not quite being able to have that. And the reason why is because I still had my walls up. I built up these walls and I couldn't break through them. And whether it was because of fear or past situations that scared me, I couldn't get through that because I had built it. Instead of pressing through the wall and breaking it down, I got angry and I was the one who didn't allow God to work in me. Because you're the one, God's kind of like, God will go through the door, but you're kind of like the key almost. Like you have to allow him to open it. And if you're stopping him from opening it like this, he's not going to be able to because you're stopping it. So you have to be the one who's going to let him break through that wall. The walls. You might be asking, what are these walls? And I'm glad you didn't. But these walls can be called strongholds, and strongholds can be defined as, strongholds can be viewed as something that is strong and has a hold or control over your life. It is an area where you are weaker than the thing habit, situation, circumstance that has rule over you. One of the definitions of strongholds is a place of survival or refuge. I thought it was really interesting that the word stronghold, which is representing our walls, strongholds, pretty much go hand in hand. And by that point, I pretty much built up a stronghold, not a wall. But I thought it was really interesting that it's defined as a refuge, because we can't find our refuge in Him when we're finding it elsewhere. So when you're finding your refuge in your situation or your fear or whatever it is, you can't find your refuge in God. And when we allow our moments of impact to break us, moments can either make you or break you, and it's up to you what they do. But when you allow the moments to break us and rule us, we begin building up these walls we never knew we had. And that's what happened to me. All of our moments, they're going to define us. There's a difference between making it and allowing it to break you. When you allow the moment to define you negatively, it breaks you. In the movie Fireproof, which most of you guys have seen because we watched it here, but the main character of the movie, he's going through a really tough time getting a divorce from his wife, his marriage is failing, and his friend tells him, fireproof does not mean the fire will never come. It means when the fire comes that you will be able to withstand it. When we put our refuge in God, that is when we respond differently to the moments of impact. Our moments are always going to come. We're always going to have life moments of impact. We're always going to have spiritual moments of impact. The moments are always going to come. But what matters is how you respond. And when you find refuge in God, that is when you respond to them in a positive way and you allow them to make you so the change can happen. This is kind of like another little side note. But when I was in middle school age, I used to get teased for singing all the time. People would tell me, you are not a good singer. Or people would tell me, like, you sound horrible. So I did not like to sing at all. This obviously may seem like a less significant moment than a wife getting amnesia. But when I was young, this was a big deal for me. And I built up a wall in that situation because I felt hurt. I felt embarrassed. I didn't like people telling me I couldn't sing. I didn't feel like I could sing. So I built up a wall, and I would never sing. Never. Because I couldn't. I was surrounded by so many people who were so musically talented. Who is little old me to try and go do something like that? I didn't do it. And it's funny because I always loved to worship and I loved to sing, but I just... And I know it's kind of weird that I just said I loved worship, because I just spent this whole entire time explaining how I was scared of it. But I did. I loved worship. That's not what my problem was. I loved God, and I wanted to worship. But for whatever reason, I was scared of it. And ever since I was little, I can't tell you why. Since I was a little kid, my mom can tell you, I was always freaked out. I don't know. It was very strange. My little theme scripture for the message is Psalms 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and the foam and the mountains quake with their surging. So no matter what, that's cool. So, I know, but I didn't even tell her about it. So, no matter what happens, God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our ever-present help in time of trouble. So back to that task that I mentioned. My talk with Mama Lisa, as you remember, she said that she felt like God was going to require a task. And as I said, I always loved worship. Loved it. It was my favorite part of service. Weird, I guess. But it was just my fault. I loved it, but it was just my fault for not letting God take me to a true place of worship. But I never thought I could sing, obviously, and I definitely didn't think I was good enough to sing on a worship team or be a worship leader. I just didn't think I would. And I built up those walls and I was finding refuge in my fear. And when I finally decided to join the worship team here, that was when kind of a big change started to happen. I had let go of my fear of pressing into worship, but I hadn't necessarily let go of all my fears of letting God use me in a way like this. And so when I joined the worship team here, that's when the spiritual moments of impact and the moments of impact started happening left and right, and the walls started breaking down. One night, I did something totally out of my comfort zone, and I left the stage area, and I went to go pray with somebody somebody that was at the service, and that was, like, way out of my comfort zone. I do not do stuff like that, like, never, but I just really felt, and I always know when God's telling me to do something because I can't focus on anything else but the thing. So sometimes, like, I'll think, like, stuff, and then if I know it's me because I can just continue through worship and it's not a big deal, but sometimes things will happen and God will tell me to do stuff, and I'll just, like, not be able to continue worshiping. Like, I cannot continue worshiping until I do what I'm supposed to be doing. So that's what happened that night, and so I left the stage, and I went in to go pray for somebody. And honestly, I cannot describe that moment to you at all in words, because it was something that was so life-changing for me. And the person that I prayed with has come up to me a couple times or has mentioned to me before how important that moment was for them. But to be honest, I don't really think they knew how important it was to me. And I don't think they realized that it was just as important for them as it was for me, because that was probably one of the moments that I felt God more real and more tangible in my life. And, you know, I can't necessarily tell you the exact moment that my wall completely fell down. It may have been, you know, that was the final moment for me. But I just know that I was so overjoyed and so excited that my wall was finally coming down and I was able to press in and worship and just really just do what God wanted me to do. And I'm not saying that I'm 100% perfect now, because I still have moments where I'll get like, and I have to slap myself out of it really quick, or I'll get nervous or scared about it. But I know I'll never be perfect, so it's okay. But I had that specific life-changing encounter, and I had that moment where the wall came down and it broke. And honestly, for many of you, it happened right here before your eyes, whether you knew it or not. But that was what was going on for me. That was pretty much the message. But that was my moments of impact. That was my testimony that pertained to my wall. And it's messy and funny and beautiful all rolled into one. And just like the guy said in the vow, these moments are our personal history. They're our personal little playbook, photo album, if you will. They're the memories and the things that happen to us, and they define who we are. The little key points that I'm going to give you to go along with what I was saying. If you have found anything, any refuge in anything other than God, I encourage you to pray and ask God to change that and remove it from you, and give you, and pray to ask God to give you the strength and the faith to find it in Him. Because I know for the longest time, I never thought that I had found refuge in fear or other things. I thought that I found it in Him. I didn't realize it until, like, it was all not too late, obviously, but I had a lot of work to do because of this issue. The other point that I wanted to just tell you is just to embrace the moments of impact that affect your life. Allow these moments to lead you into a life-changing encounter that can give you a testimony. Don't let these moments impact you in a negative way. Don't let them break you. Like I said, you have the power to respond to your moments in two ways. If you find refuge in God, you're going to allow it to affect you positively, and it's going to make you, and it will turn into your life-changing encounter. If you don't, your life-changing encounter will come, but you're going to have to go through a lot more, because your moment is going to have broke you, and it's going to have ruled you, and you're going to build up a wall that you never knew you had But these moments, they define us and they represent our lives and they teach us and they guide us. And I pray that we all, because we're never going to be done hitting these moments. We're never going to be done having experiences or having things happen to us. And I pray that we all allow them to make us and not break us. Because all it takes is one life moment that you didn't expect to just completely shake your world. And at that time, you can act or react, and you can allow it to make you or you can allow it to break you. And I pray that we allow our moments to make us and that we embrace them. Because if you embrace these things that happen to you and you push through and you allow God to do a work in you, remember, you're the key. If you allow God to unlock the door and let him go, you're going to have so many life-changing encounters and you're going to just keep growing and growing and growing. So if everyone will stand up, I'm going to pray. All right. Dear God, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk to everybody tonight and share my story, Lord. And I pray that I said everything that you wanted me to say, God. And Lord, I pray that none of us leave here changed, or that we all leave here changed, God. And Lord, I pray that we allow our moments to make us, God. And I know that these moments sometimes can be hard and they can be things that we didn't expect, God, but I pray that we all find our refuge in God, and I pray that you just touch each and every one of us and be with us throughout the rest of our week, God, and the rest of our months and days and years. And I love you and I thank you for this opportunity, God, and I thank you for Warehouse Worship, Lord, for this opportunity to grow and change and break down my walls right here, God. In Jesus' name, amen.